Vibe tribes. Welcome back, people, to another episode of Vibes and Tribes with me, your host Baze. Today we got a juicy one, people. This is a guy I've been trying to get on. Him and his ad libs. look at that whistling for a long time.
There's a lot of pressure now.
really looking forward to this one, people. This is Vibes and Tribes, where, you know, we talk to people from all walks of life to show you there are many different ways to being successful. We like to say it's like Diary of a CEO, but it's Diary of a Normal Person.
Woo!
But with that, this is an extraordinary person, actually.
Oh, he's kind, man.
With that, DKB, do you want to quickly introduce yourself, your job title, and then we'll take it back?
Cool. Hello, I'm Dean, Dean K. Barry, formerly known as DKB, one third of Three Shades Creative, ex-YouTube star, South London's winner of Come Dine With Me 2021. I had to drop that in.
Yeah, okay.
I run a production company called Three Shades along with the other two boys, and we also are a trio of directors.
Exactly. But before we get into, you know, how you run a company with two other boys, let's take it way, 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 way back. Ooh. And before we do that, guys, make sure you like, subscribe.
Yes.
Share the thing, comment, show love.
Follow it. Yeah. Follow it.
Follow it. Okay.
Do there yourself we go. A favour.
Thank you.
I really like the intro, by the way. I do like it. It's catchy. I do think there needs to be a little musical bed underneath.
Can you?
I'll chat to some guys. We'll get one going, because I feel like it's got the, I don't know, we need to vibe into it, you know.
I'm actually working on it.
Are
at
you?
The moment.
Yeah, what sort of angle are you going to go for?
We're testing it out at the moment. So, yeah. Okay. There's been a few things, but it's not quite.
It'll catch on.
Thank you. And with that, we like to start in secondary school. So DKB, take me back. Where did you grow up? What secondary school did you go to? Did you like it?
I loved school. I had the best time at school, man. So I grew up in Northwest London, Harrow. Big up, HA3.
Yeah.
And it's funny, a lot of people, Harrow's such a very, very, very strange place to be or to grow up. It's really like small town vibes, but it's London, and everyone there begs London, and everyone outside of Harrow says it's not London. It's this weird little middle ground. We've got like one, there's like one bar club called Trinity that everyone used to go to. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore, but like, I don't know, it was quite cool because every school knew each other, and it was like that small town vibe, and all the like gossip would like run between all the schools.
I wanted
to be right at the heart of that gossip. I was trying to make as big a name for myself as possible.
From early,
from day one, it's just constantly, well, I don't want to say obsessed with attention, but yeah, definitely as a kid. I'm a middle child, and so I feel like that's absolutely like seeped into every aspect of my personality, which has its benefits, and it definitely has its drawbacks sometimes. But
I hear that. So obviously you love school. It sounds like, yeah, you loved attention. From the academic side, did you try hard? Did you like the academics?
Yeah, do you know, I was probably one of those quite annoying people, and I sound like such a dickhead saying that as well. Like, I realise that sounds cringy and whatever, but like, I would try and be like a class clown in class. And I remember, actually, for example, I did psychology A-level, and I was there trying to like take the piss constantly. I was constantly thrown out of the class by my teacher, not in like a bad way, but it was just very disruptive and just trying to be all like super funny, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then my AS results came back, and I got 100% psychology. I think they rounded up, but still 100%.
Hey, 100% is 100%.
I don't even know how they work that out. And then I remember my teacher, shout out Miss Medley, she was like, I don't want to have to say it, but Dean, how did you get this? How did this happen? But I always felt like it was very much, I was able to, at the time anyway, like just really like cram and then regurgitate it, and then
so you were a crammer?
Bit of a crammer, yeah. And so for my A-levels anyway, I did a lot of humor. I did, what did I do? I did English, Lit. I can't remember if it was split up between Lit and Lang.
Yeah.
Always loved that because I love a good waffle. And I've honestly, like, if you can chat shit enough, like, I feel like you can, and you can be as confident, like, if you can chat shit confidently, I feel like you can almost sway any sort of argument.
I believe that.
Yeah. And then I did media, which, looking back on it, was just like a piece of piss, and it was just a bit like no one knew what to do. I feel like it was just like a it was like a new thing. It felt like a new thing. I feel like it definitely didn't have the same amount of respect
that it does now.
Yeah, and like obviously now it's a huge thing, and like companies everywhere just pump so much money into TikTok and every like social media and like content for that. But like I feel like at the time it felt like a bit of a left field, like, woo, I'm doing media studies and it's a bit of a DOS or whatever. And to be fair, it was a little bit of a dock, and it was super fun. And like, I was always interested in like filmmaking and everything. So like, I enjoyed that part of it.
So did you do media because you were interested in it, or because you just thought, ah, fuck it?
No, I was interested in it, okay, and I felt like it was a good way to, like, some elements were good, but I feel like some of the teachers would also just download and would print off everything from like Wikipedia and stuff. Now I'm making it sound as if we were like grew up in the Stone Age or anything. so long ago. But I feel like at the time there wasn't like that much like resource. To go from. Or like our teacher didn't have any anyway. So, but we did like we filmed some like silly little music videos and like trailers for films and stuff. And it was that hands-on filmmaking stuff that I was really like sort of tickled my fancy. And then I did history, always really liked that. And then, I did psychology, and then I dropped psychology. No, I didn't. Dropped history.
You dropped history, so that left you with English, psychology, and...
Media.
And media.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've thought about this
one. I know, mate. Just showing his age. He looks young.
Oh, man, I'm starting to moisturise every day just because I'm worried about these crow's feet. I'm hoping it doesn't like come up.
Special effects does wonders on a boy's face.
Yeah, Jesus, man. I'm starting to show.
All right, so with that... did you go to the same sixth form college as school?
Yes, and I'm really, really glad I did, actually. So I felt like I was able to... I don't know, sixth form was good, man. I remember, actually, it's coming back to me, it was like a fork in the road. I remember at one point I wanted to do some sort of like performing arts, acting or whatever, like going down that route. That was I was interested in that. And this is actually probably... just after my GCSEs, and I was just like, you know what, I'm going to be an actor, I'm going to Hollywood, this is happening for me. And then I looked...
Been in a Hollywood film, by
I have
the way.
Been in a Hollywood film, so it did sort of happen to me, but it hasn't flourished in the way that I wanted it to, but it will do, watch this space. There's still time.
There is.
So I was like thinking about maybe doing performing arts, but then actually... I was like, you know what, I want to stay on at the sixth form and like do my A-levels, and I'll sort of like anything to sort of coast a little bit longer and like just wait and see. And I feel like I've always been in that sort of scenario, man, like not to jump ahead or anything, but constantly is a little bit like, I've never had that definitive clear moment where I'm like, boom, this is what I'm doing. This is 100% exactly what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And I don't know if that happens for anyone, but like...
This is why we're here to shed a light. So you've just mentioned there the fact that you haven't always known what you wanted to do, but did you kind of know the direction you were going in? Like at what time did you start thinking about like uni and what you wanted to study at uni?
Definitely wanted to go to uni, but just because of
the sesh.
The lifestyle and the sesh. Always the sesh. Live for the sesh, baby. Still seshing. And I'm feeling it now at the age of 31. Can't hack it anymore. I remember I really wanted to go to uni. Like I went and visited someone at uni like when I was a little bit younger, and I was like, oh my god, this is fucking mental. And then I used to work at the BHS cafe in Uxbridge. Oh, BHS doesn't even exist anymore, so I can't shout you out. But that used to be my job. And I remember chatting to this boy James, who was in like a couple of years older than me, and he was living living the uni lifestyle at Brunel Uni. And and his stories would just like sort of get my mind racing, and I'd be like, fucking hell, that sounds sick, man. And I went on a night out with him when I was like super young and really green and like wide-eyed, and it was sick. But yeah, so I was super excited about going to uni, but yeah, only for continuing. Like my head, I was like, shit, okay, I'm gonna be 18, it's like one giant fucking sleepover, like everyone's suddenly in halls and you can do exactly what you want. And I remember being so I was so buzzing to get to uni on the day my parents were like dropping me. I was just like, hurry up. And then I wanted them to leave as soon as possible. I was like, everyone's probably pre-drinking now. It's like 2 p.m. Like, get out of here, man. I need to be making friends right now. But yeah, I was, and then it sort of came about from my A-level results. I got like, I did all right in English, and I was like, I enjoy English. So I was like, I'm going to keep doing this.
Okay.
But then I remember looking at different uni options. And then I again, this is my like massive like commitment issues in every aspect of my life. Like I was like, I don't want to do full English. No, I'm also interested in film, and I was looking at film studies, and like one route to go down, in which like a lot of people now, I work with a lot of my peers, like filmmakers I work with now, went to actual film school where it's a dedicated, proper, legit thing. And I ended up meeting somewhere in the middle. I chose, so I went to Southampton.
Film and English.
It's film and English. It was a 50-50 combined honours course. There was no practical modules for filmmaking. In the whole thing, man. And so, there was one, and I was so pissed off because it was in second year, and it was the only thing on the whole syllabus for the whole 3 years. And I was like, okay, that's enough maybe like to draw me in to actually do this. And it was like developing your own documentary in second year. And I got onto it, the module, and just before we were about to start, they dropped the entire thing. And then it was instead an introduction to German cinema, which didn't have as many like practical like
elements
to it. Nine. Still fun, but yeah. And so I was a bit annoying that like it was, there was no practical elements to the actual course. But
okay,
yeah. Sorry.
I'm
going mad.
You are, but I'm loving it. This is a lot of interest. So bringing it back. So when it came to deciding, okay, I want to continue the sleepover, I'm loving that, I'm going to uni, you based your decision off of like AS levels, you did quite well in English. Like did your media result factor into it, or nah, you just knew English is like mainstream, so I kind of want to follow that, and the film came later?
I did pretty I can't remember my A-level results. I definitely got, I think, A-star English.
Oh, mate. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Not just a pretty face, mate. A-star English, A in psychology, and A in media, I think, as well.
Okay, sick.
Here I am at age 31 still boasting about my fucking... I need to get a life. But I think, yeah, I don't know. Like, I remember going... I went to a few different open days, and then I went to Southampton. And I saw a guy who had gone to our school, and I literally, like, my whole uni decision and therefore everything that's come from it was just based on, I bumped into him at the Portsmouth open day.
Okay.
And he was like, oh man, Southampton's so much better. I've been here, like, Southampton. And I was like, cool, all right. And then I just sort of went
from there.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
So moral of the story for anybody potentially, you know, young enough listening to this, wanting to decide on university, take advice from your friends, go to an open day, and yeah, chance your arm. So you've touched on the fact that you did a 50-50 course. Like how did you find the course? How did you find university, bro?
University, honestly, like I've done so much since, and life has been very, very, very kind to me in the 10 years, coming up to 10 years since I graduated. Done amazing things, like traveled the world, blah 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 blah. But there is something so sacred and special about my university experience, man.
Oh,
and like,
man,
honestly, I fucking loved every single element to it, and it was just like I was in my element. I absolutely loved it. Like,
we were in our element.
Oh man, bro. Oh, take me back. Honestly, I remember, not to jump ahead, but I remember in, as we were about to graduate, and I was like, I was hoping to fail the year just so I could keep going, man. I'm glad I didn't, because I'm glad it was like this contained thing.
Experience, yeah.
And I don't want to like long it out or anything, but like, it was, for me, it exists in this perfect bubble. I tend to romanticize my life anyway. I'm always like, if any tiny little like encounter I have, I'm like, whoa.
No, but
amazing.
I do agree with university. Like, when I talk about my experience, it's just, words can't describe what you go through over those like 3-4 years. And for me, I described it as an evolution from like a boy to like a young man. Definitely not a fully fledged man. But like, it's where I learned to cook. It's where I learned to pay bills. It's where I learned, you just meet so many people. It's where I learned to fucking drink every day. Wake up and just get on with life and get after it. You just meet so many people as well.
I love that element, man. I loved walking around. I loved the big lectures for English. And everyone was there, and it was just like the full, I think it was the only time for English that there was all, every English student in the year all in one big lecture hall. And I was like, this is fucking sick, man. Like, this is like that excitement. I remember, like, nothing will beat that excitement. Age 18, getting dropped off, and then everything that came with it over those first few months. And that didn't die, man, because every single year of uni was super different. I felt like a different person in each year. And yeah, definitely felt a little bit of growth. And I remember also, got like really reflective at the end of as it was coming to an end, and I was thinking like, shit, man, we've been very, very lucky. And I know that like, not like, even though we might have amazing lives and like there's a lot to look forward to, but like this is super, super special because we're never going to be in this same scenario where we're this young. Life is fucking relatively easy. And if you do have the opportunity to go to university, and like obviously it is open to a lot, like a lot open to everyone. And yeah, obviously it's fucking expensive and I'm still paying for that. But but it's
you can't put a price.
You can't put a price
on the experiences,
man, honestly.
Can you?
And I do, I understand why people go like, oh, I'm gonna go straight into industry or whatever if there's like a certain, if it makes sense, if it's like applicable to the sort of trajectory that they want to do career wise. But I would say, for me personally, I loved every minute of it. I'm still really, really good friends with like a lot of people from uni.
So question to you. Obviously, when we went, fees were like a third of the price as they are now. If you were 18 right now, knowing everything you know about uni and your experience and the increase in prices, would you pay to go now?
That's a very good question. I would because I mean like money comes and goes and that's really easy to like it was just so good, and I think it's valuable in so many other ways of your degree. Like outside of academia, which is actually something that I felt like I could have, if I was to redo it, I would spend a little bit more time doing that.
What, outside of academia?
No, I feel like I loved uni and it was like super social and I just wanted to like meet every single human being on the campus. But if I was to do it again, I would spend more time getting sucked into my course and actually like really like getting my head down and actually like doing a bit more, because I felt like doing English, again, it goes back to feeling like you can just like waffle and get away with whatever. I felt like I would do the bare minimum, know that I can do the bare minimum, write these essays that are just sort of are passable, and then move on and just do so. Because for English and film, it was like almost exactly the same, and they were like mirrored in what they were. So with English, it would be a book, a text a week. Each week for each module.
Fucking hell. Read a whole book.
Which you realise you're never, ever, ever going to do. Like, I remember buying all the fucking first books in the first module and I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And when I found out that they were like, next week we're moving on to the next book, and I was like, this one is that big. This is going to take me months to read. I was like, okay, cool, we don't need to do that then. And then you sort of pick and choose. And then it gets to a point where you're like, I don't need to read any of this. And that's the sort of attitude I had, and I really wish that I could sort of, I don't have any regrets or anything, but like if I was to do it again or redo it.
So rather than redoing it, for people who are listening, to somebody who went, had an amazing time, what would you give to people like who just want to go become the most known person? What would you say to them?
Yeah, do it. Do it. Do it.
Do it, but focus on your books as well.
Do it, but make sure you're getting like everything out of it. Like, it is fun to like fuck around for 3 years. It's fun to go out. It's fun to like enjoy being young, man. But also take advantage of the things on offer, like not only like academic wise, but also like all the other like clubs and societies that are there. And if you do have any interests, like, or hobbies, or like as small as they are, like you can 100% utilize some of the things on offer and actually let those things flourish, and like they nurture those things. And that's another thing that I really, really, really wish I did. There was a filmmaking society there, and they had cameras and they had people who are super keen to be take on any role and like make films and really, really proactive. And I went to the first meeting in first year and I was like, nah, fuck this. And it was so annoying. And then in second year, I was like a bit more like harder on myself. And I was like, all right, I need to actually start going to these things. I need to like make the most of this. And so I went again. And then I was like,
nah, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are so many
opportunities. Did you join any societies?
I didn't join any societies.
Okay, wow.
The whole time.
Wow.
The whole time. I don't know what I did, man. I was just walking around chatting shit the entire time at uni.
And so yeah, obviously we went to uni together. And yeah, you're probably like the most social person that I knew. So I'm like testament to what you were saying. To anybody who potentially, you know, is a little bit afraid of making friends, wants to go to uni, not be a bit of a guy, but just, yeah, be comfortable being able to speak to people from all different backgrounds, what would your advice be to them?
I think you've got to go in with an open mind. I remember the first few days anyway, and like, I thought I went in there like ball of energy and being like, hey, hey, hey. But I also realised there was a lot of people who were really shy and like felt like they needed a little bit of coaxing and stuff, or maybe weren't like super comfortable being in those environments, or hadn't maybe been in those like sort of drink, especially because obviously drinking is such a big thing. Like, it's, like when you first get there and like freshers, that's like the catalyst for like getting to know everyone. But yeah, I feel like you, if it's not an immediate thing anyway, like you sort of find your feet, and I feel like naturally you sort of gravitate to the people you're putting, you're put in this fucking melting pot of just like loads of different people from all walks of life, so many different personalities. I didn't like, I tried to like get on with everyone, but like it, that didn't necessarily always happen. Like the people I was living with probably didn't like some of my lifestyle choices and like I probably got on like a lot of people's nerves and stuff, and they were also, it's just different walks of life, and sometimes they gel and sometimes they don't gel. But if you, I feel like it is a good training ground or a good place to be able to actually explore like who you are as a person, whether that is involved like getting involved in things or naturally finding people you click with. And it's not an immediate overnight thing, but I feel like after 3 years, I don't know, maybe you sort of find your feet a little bit.
Okay, I like that. So let's wrap up on the university experience as we come to, so we're getting to the end of third year, let's say. You've done your thing, you've smashed it out of the park. Do you start thinking about what's next? Is there a job lined up? Have you done any like internships over summer? What do you want to do with your life?
So I did, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a journalist. I was like, maybe that's the route I was going to, I'm going to go down. Like, there was never ever like I never sat down with myself and was like,
Work for the Daily Mail?
That's a dream. I don't know. I was just like, maybe I can be this like fun, interesting, investigative like journalist who like goes to all these like crazy places and like writes for Vice or something. I don't know. And I did a 1 week internship work experience at the Southampton Daily Echo.
I remember that.
And oh my god, man, I went out the night, like I went down to back to, it was after we'd graduated, I went back to Southampton, I stayed with a mate, went out and got really, really fucked. And then the next day, the next morning, I had like an hour's sleep. I looked rough, I looked horrendous, and I turned up at this like newspaper office and I was just like, I think I wore like some horrible like creased like shirt, and I was just like, I looked like a hobo, and I was like, hello, I'm work experience dean. And then they were like, hey, do you want to try and do the minute news thing? And I was like, what's that? And like they suddenly chucked a camera in front of my face, and like on like no sleep, super hungover, I was like, oh shit. And I suddenly had to do this like little bit for they put on their website where it was like news bulletins or whatever.
Okay.
But I also realized I didn't really love the environment. Also, no one had anything for me to do. It would be like, oh, do you mind like writing a tiny little bit on like the local pumpkin patch going rotten or something? And I was like, yeah, I can do. And I was just a bit like,
not really inspiring.
No, not at all. And also, yeah, I don't know. And so then that summer, I just took off and was just like, all right, I'm not going to think about it. I did like 7 festivals. I was just out and about, and I was just trying to enjoy. What if there was going to be a little limbo between university and then working life? I was like, let's just go in, basically. And then so that summer just like was very, very reckless. And then I came after the last festival, one of my mates from Harrow, he was like, oh, do you know anyone who wants a marketing internship? And I was just like, I could do that.
And so I
just fell into that, and that was like a printing company or something. And it was ridiculous, and I don't really know what I did. Me and him were just like sort of, we were like best mates, and we just was like trying to fuck around a little bit. I was on like £30 a day or something, and just about getting myself a meal deal and like travel there. But it was quite fun, and again, it was just like, I'm going to do this for, I signed on for 6 months doing this like work experience, just to be like, I'm not going to think about it. And I was living back at home, and so I was trying to save a little bit of money, and I was like, I do want to go traveling at some point. And then
cut you up. What does a marketing intern do?
Oh man, I started off, sorry, that's bad for the audio. I started off doing like copy for some of their posts. what is that website? Like Woucher and stuff. And they would do like, they had two sides to this printing company. One side was, what was it? The one was like direct to businesses and they'd try and sell like brochures and like all these like corporate printing.
Yeah.
I can't B2B. Believe I was, yeah, I can't believe yeah. I was ever in this world. It's like, yeah, fish out of water big time. And then the other stuff was like, they sold like mugs and stuff. You could get photos.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And so I was doing the copy initially on like some of those like posts and stuff. And then I moved onto the sales team and it was the most like cringy, cliche sales team. I remember my like mentor was like, Dean, here you go. Here's a pen. Sell me that.
Oh,
in front of the
fuck.
Whole office. And I was like, this guy's watched fucking Wolf of Wall Street too many times, man. This isn't me. And I did that for a little bit and I'd go to all these like meetings and I'll just be his little sidekick and I'll just sit there like silently being like, I resent this.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny for a little bit. And then luckily, an opportunity came on LinkedIn. I got a message from this guy who ran this like sort of YouTube company.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like an MCN, which is like multi-channel network. And so they had all these like in-house channels and they'd also work on other like building up like audiences for other people's YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Like working a lot with like labels and artists and just, yeah.
Why do you think this person messaged you on LinkedIn based on what you've said so far?
I actually can't remember. He told me once and I just
like,
can't
were you
remember.
Doing a lot of extracurriculars? That's what I'm saying.
No. I can't remember what
it was
about.
You just slid into your LinkedIn DM.
Yeah, it must have been. Oh, no. Do you know what it was, actually? Yeah, it's all coming back to me. I went to some recruitment like company and I shot one of those. I don't know if you ever did that. And it just seems like such a far off memory. But around that time, or maybe before I got that marketing internship, I went to one of those like recruitment companies where I just stood there, memorized this like CV and just sort of stood really awkwardly in front of a camera and said like, hi, I'm Dean and
yeah.
I do this. And I think he must have seen that.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I love film. I did like blah, 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 and I'm et cetera. But I went for an interview there, got the job, and I ended up being there for like 3 and a bit years. I did a bit of presenting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was maybe like 2.5. But it was the funnest job ever. It was so good. Everyone there was like just out of uni. It felt like an extension of uni.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very social. Everyone was always like out all the time.
What was the
like,
job role?
So it started off in like as audience development, I think it was. But then worked on a little bit on like producing a channel. And then I just floated about and I did a lot of nothing really. Honestly, I just really enjoyed. I think I was actually only employed just for vibes.
Okay.
For vibes.
That sounds like my dream job.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? What's some of the best things that came out of that 2.5 years? Like, are there any like YouTube channels or clips or anything that you contributed to that you were proud of?
Yeah, there was. We built up a couple of channels, but it's funny because that company now I think got bought by Sky, and so none of the original content that they made I think exists on YouTube anymore.
Oh wow, really?
So I don't even know, I can't remember what it was, but overall, overarching, like I learned a lot about YouTube as a platform, making content for a particular audience.
Mm-hmm.
And just production in general. So they had like a little like recording studio upstairs and we had like a green screen, and then you'd have your producers, researchers, presenters, writers, and then so it was all like
fucking hell, a lot of people.
Yeah. But it was just still a semi-small company, maybe like 50 or so employees, but like everything was more or less everything was done in-house. And so I learned about like end-to-end production, from like writing an idea to then getting that all fully edited and then out on YouTube. And so I was there for like 2.5 years, and then me and my two boys, big shout out, Sim and Warren.
Hold tight,
boys. we all went to school together. And a bit about our backstory, because now they sort of like overlap. We were sat at Best of All just after we finished uni, or just before finishing uni, and it was like 7 in the morning in the tent, and we were just like, yo, man, we've got to put our minds together, man. We've got like, we need to work together somehow. And so we had a few different like random avenues of just trying to do this. Actually, yeah, these are the extracurricular things that I was doing whilst at that YouTube company job.
Yeah.
So we started a thing called Real Talk London, which we thought was going to be like a new like rival to like Vice or something. We thought it was, yeah, that's where I was sort of wanted to cut my teeth like doing like.
What did that involve?
Well, involved us just trying to get into gigs and stuff for free, being like, hey, we're like, we've got a website, we've got a blog, like, can we come and film, or can we take photos, or can we come and review it, or whatever. And it was a little bit short-lived, and we didn't really know exactly what we were going to do with it, but it was where we bought cameras and what we bought cameras for.
Okay.
Our first ever cameras.
How many cameras?
We got, Warren got one, and then me and Sim went halves on one.
Okay. Hey, bro, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, oh, bro.
And how much would you say they cost, though, for anybody looking to get into the game?
I'm sure they've changed, but this was the entry-level Canon 700D and...
I'm not linking that camera. Bun you. No advertising.
No.
Pay
no,
me.
No. Other
pay
cameras
me to
are
get
available.
Yeah.
They're relatively cheap. I can't remember.
Give me a ballpark. 300 to 500.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. There you go.
And then we went halves on that. We had some like very rudimentary entry level lenses.
Okay.
And then, but we sort of,
what does a lens do for anybody who doesn't know?
Lens is the glass in the front of the camera.
Okay. What, that makes it crisp?
Makes it crisp. Well, it should be. And we were just like sort of learning how to do a few bits and bobs, and then through that we think we got, it was quite mad, because then like a year later we went back to festival and we were like the press, we got press tickets, and we were like, we thought at the time that was the biggest like sort of thing to tick off our to-do list, and we were like, this is insane, man.
Okay, sorry, we got to take a step back.
Oh, yeah.
So you went from, we were at festival, and then fast forward a year later, you're back at festival, you got the press pass.
Mm.
You said that you're just messing around.
Yeah.
For, let's say, friends or anybody wants to get into this, I'm trying, I know a lot of people trying. Like, what does messing around entail? How many hours are you devoting to Real Talk TV? Is it every week? How many videos did you put up on YouTube? Was it YouTube that you were posting on? Like, how much goes into, just, you know, fuck it, let's see where I go on. And did you have a nest egg? Oh, wait, actually, go with that first.
Yeah, it was, firstly, like, we're in a very fortunate position where you can learn anything and everything filmmaking on YouTube, it's just always developing, and that's exactly how we learn everything. A lot of the editing tools and programs are like super simple to use.
Oh, are they?
And you get the knack of it, like it's chill. And what was the question again?
So I was saying, like, how much time were you putting
in? I feel like if you want to go down the route of actually like sort of being able to get access to places and stuff, like, as long as you've got a little bit, we didn't have any followers, we didn't have any, like, we just had a website. And I feel like if you contacted, well, we would contact loads of different like info at or press at, and we're just trying to get in anywhere we can, and maybe out of like 20 emails someone will go, yeah, sure, you can come in, because like it's free press for them.
Even if it's
just coming into like the press pit at a show for like a couple of minutes and just like taking photos, whatever, it allows you to make content, you can put that up and then build from there. But like, it was a sort of a very, very, very small side hustle that only showed its like advantages when we went to the festival, really. Like, we never gave it enough time or like really thought about what we wanted it to be or anything.
So were you all still working at that time?
Cool. Very much like
How does festival come about then? You send the message to info at
it's actually mad how many, if you look at the people you've met through uni or life or whatever, there'll be a lot of links to whatever you want to do.
That's a fact.
I've been going on LinkedIn recently and trying to like just message people and be like, hey, do you need any videos?
Yeah.
But like,
waiting for my message. No, I'm joking.
We'll be filming this.
Yeah.
So it's just about like finding those contacts. But a lot of the time you can just do that through finding like a general email to someone.
Nice. And did festival pay you?
No.
Okay,
this
but
is
you
all
just
unpaid.
To do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is the thing, like, you, when you're passionate about these things, you got to do it for free for a long time.
For sure.
So how long before you get like your first paid gig, and how does Free Shades come about? We're stepping ahead. You go traveling? Where's that within all of this as well?
Mate, so it's about to start. Yeah.
Sorry,
so
okay.
We quit our jobs and we go, all right, we've got our cameras. Warren goes a little bit before, and because we were like, we haven't got enough money yet. So he went by himself initially. Me and Sim quit our jobs, handed in our notice on the same day. He's working at some advertising agency and I'm working at this YouTube place. And we were like, all right, this is it. This is real. And we're doing it. And so we booked a one-way flight to India.
Yeah.
And knowing that we wanted to hopefully be away for 2 years at the very minimum.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck you, though.
Yeah, we were like, let's fucking do this, man. We were 24 years old. The year was 2016.
Yeah.
The world is a much nicer, brighter, beautiful place in my head anyway. Again, like being like romanticizing everything. And it was just like, let's fucking do it, man. There's no reason
That's
not
fucking
to.
Sick.
Yeah. And so we just booked this one way ticket and we got to India. We made a video about us leaving London and being like bored with the monotony of working life and everything. And again, if I look it back on it, it's got charm, these like these initial videos, but they're like really super basic. And but we started a channel, it was called Travel Blaggers, and we thought it was the most clever fucking name ever. We were like, Travel Blaggers, bloggers, this is insane, man. And everyone,
I thought it was, sorry, can I just say, you just said this, Travel Blaggers, blog. I thought Travel Blaggers meant you're gonna blag and get any travel for free and get into places for free.
Yeah. So this is where the discrepancies start, yeah, because like, because we start getting like, we put up our first video and it's just us being like, we're in India now. And like, so I remember someone messaged me and they were like, oh, I thought it was going to be about like tips or like how to get there or like, well, yeah, trying to do shit for free.
Yeah.
Well, it was just us chatting shit. Really. And which again, like, I mean, we were getting some views.
Yeah.
We were like, oh shit, okay, cool. And so our first, we did India for about 3.5 months.
Before you go on, you know this used to be a travel podcast. I have to ask you, so you packed away to go away for 2 years.
Shit.
What's the first thing you packed, bro?
I want to say something like really like hedonistic, like just like a little notebook where I can write down all my thoughts and feelings, but it's probably a fucking battery or something, like a bunch of batteries. Well, we had our camera, so probably some camera batteries. Such a boring answer, man.
No. It's different. So, bro, back in. All right, India.
Yeah.
You're there. How long for?
Yeah, India, 3.5 months. Most incredible, insane, like just different place. I was like, I'd never been out of Europe before, so I was like, this is fucking mental.
What made you choose India?
I don't know. We were just like, let's just do it.
Okay.
And I found that like everything after that felt just like an absolute breeze, because India is just so intense in every aspect of the word. It's just beautiful and it's so like, it's such an unreal experience.
So where did you fly to first?
So we flew to Mumbai. We just said bye to everyone and we had like a very, very, very heavy weekend before we left. Said bye to everyone. Suddenly it dawned on us, like we were in Mumbai and we were like, oh shit. I remember as we were like descending and I was looking over and I was like, oh, and you can see like the slums in Mumbai and just like how different that, like the landscape looked. I was a little bit like, oh my God, this is real, man.
Yeah.
And then we had to wait in the airport for like hours and hours, and then we got a flight to Goa. And Goa, everyone is like, oh, it's like super Western in a way. There's all like big like psytrance scene, a lot of partying and stuff. But even getting to Goa, I was just so shell-shocked with like just a sensory overload, man.
Yeah.
We got out of the airport and we hadn't slept and for like felt like fucking days, and I was just in this daze. And we got rushed into this like cab, and then suddenly you don't know what's going on. People are suddenly like, oh, let me take your bag, let me do this, and you're like, fucking hell, man. You're like, you're not used to it right at the beginning. You really have to like ease into India and know how to sort of
navigate
for sure. Yeah. And and I remember, like, I basically had to fucking stop this cab because I was sat there and initially looking out the window going like, cool, we're in India. I was like, mad. And then I was suddenly like, oh my God, we're in India. And then I suddenly started feeling really panicky and I started feeling really anxious. And I was like, this cab needs to stop. I was like,
oh fuck.
I was like, I'm like having a panic attack. And I full on had a proper panic attack, man.
Shit.
I was in the back because it suddenly dawned on me. I was like, shit, I've just given everything up.
Yeah.
I'm in this like far away land that like just feels like really far away from home. I don't know how long I'm going to be away for. I don't know if I've made the right decision at all. And I don't know like what is this next 2 years going to be. Like, I don't know what awaited me. And like, so I just had to get this guy. I had to like sort of translate and say like, can you please like, pull over. And luckily I was with my mate Sim, and so he was just looked after me, and I was a bit like, oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
And it was super hot, it was just pre-monsoon, so it was like fucking 45 degrees, and I was like, I can't do this. But then he's into it, and it just, India was like, I don't want to be that guy being like super super special, and like, but it was so amazing, man. Like, it's just like the terrain, like, because it's such a vast huge country, like every single place you go to, you can go to the smallest town where the only thing it's known for is a bus, like a bus like station.
Yeah.
And it's just packed and there's thousands and thousands of people. It's like insane everywhere. And everyone looks at you, which as an attention seeker, initially I thought I'd love, but then at first I was a little bit like, why is everyone looking at me, man? But then I was like, I loved it in the end. And then people come up and asking you for photos and stuff. And everyone else we were with, when we met other people and other Westerners, they were very tired of that whole process. But I was the one in the back still being like, anyone else want a photo? I'll hold your baby.
All right, so you're there for 3.5 months. Give me like the top three highlights.
Top three highlights is a place called Manali up in the north. So we escaped pre-monsoon. The roads were melting. It was like the biggest heat wave they had in years. It was fucking crazy. Yeah. We went up to Manali, and after months, weeks and weeks and weeks of just pure heat and like being uncomfortable, like nothing's comfortable there. We get to Manali and then we sort of realized like we're not on a time limit here, we can chill. So we stayed in this like mountain town like near the Himalayas. It was like super cold and really refreshing, and you had to wear jeans at night, which we felt amazing after being like just super sweaty and hot for so long. And then we just learned to relax there, and that was beautiful, and that was like felt serene and spiritual, and we did some hikes and stuff, and it was just amazing. Second place was Varanasi, which is just like the most incredible, like overwhelming place. Like it's, we've got like the River Ganges, and we did like, we made a video for the channel called like 24 hours in Varanasi, because we only had 24 hours really. And so we paid this local guide, this taxi driver, and he took us around to all these like crazy things and stuff, and that whole day just felt like the most like vortex of just experience, man. It started off at like 4:35 in the morning, where we went and down the River Ganges, and at the time it was like flooded, and there were like dangerous like whirlpools, and everyone was like, we're not taking anyone out on the boat, and we were like, please man, we need this for the video. And we went and did that, and then like and then all the streets are so busy and packed, and because they've got these they burn the bodies there like to put in the to put in the Ganges, like it's like a funeral process. Throughout the day, you just see people like through the very narrow, mad, maze-like streets, people are just like holding these bodies. But it's amazing and beautiful because there's this real positive attitude towards it. And so we saw the burn, we ended the night by going up and seeing like these burning ghats where we just saw these bodies being burnt. It was really overwhelming to see, because you saw one body like, and I was like, oh my God, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But I was we were chatting to some people, and everyone was like, this is a positive experience. Like these, we're celebrating their life rather than mourn and feel the like full on grief. We're actually, celebrating their life.
Let me bring it back. Wait, so India, 3.5 months. My question is, you said that you're filming, right? 24 hours in Varanasi, this, that, and the other. For me, I've never seen myself as like a creative. Like,
we're here, we're doing this.
Thank you, bro. But like, what does the video process look like? Are you just like, do you just let your camera on play? Like, is there specific shots that you catch? For anybody who's trying to capture like good content, what does capturing good content involve? Is it just a lot of recording?
It's so long, man. Okay. It's so long. Like, we, you'd be filming a lot, and then you have to, and then a lot of the time you'll experience something like candidly and genuinely, and then you go, that was quite good, and you have to be like, let's get the camera out then, and you like almost redo it.
Wow.
Sorry to all the Travel Blagger like OG fans out there, some of it was, you know,
redone.
But then a lot of it wasn't, and and we would purposefully shoot certain things, we know what we wanted, but again also like the editing process is such a mad one, because it's not like now where you like shoot music video or whatever and you've got a shot list or anything. It's like you do sort of, it's like the edits are like a Frankenstein.
You just put it all together,
random shit, and you do a lot of talking, which you have to also just get used to and get into the groove of, because it doesn't feel natural just being like, yo, so we're here, we're in Manali, we're going to be doing da-da-da-da. And obviously, like, it's a little bit cringy and people might be like, look at that guy with a camera.
Yeah.
But you've just got to embrace it and be like, I'm doing it. And you know, I'm so...
It helps that you're in another country.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to Nicaragua like a few months ago and I was like vlogging for the first time in years. And I did a little bit at Heathrow Airport and I was like, oh my God. People were looking at me and I was like, I look like a fucking idiot, man. But yeah, it definitely helps if you're in a different country. And we just like, I'm super grateful for it as well. Like, so like we've got all these amazing edited YouTube videos.
Okay, so that is India. I'm just conscious of time. How many countries did you go to in the 2 year period? How long were you away for, actually?
Yeah, so just over 2 years.
Wow, how many countries?
Many. We did. I'll reel them off really, really, really quickly. So yeah, we did India, and then we went to Nepal. The best thing, one of the best things we've ever done, we went up to Annapurna base camp, just me and Sim, 7 days walking up to the base camp, no guide, no Sherpa. And it was so fucking mental. It was so good. I wish we had better camera equipment now, because I love the stuff that we filmed, but like a drone and everything would look really fucking cool. But yeah, we did that in Nepal, and then we went to Thailand, and we went to Myanmar, we did Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam. Loved Vietnam, second favorite place. Vietnam and India, amazing.
Yeah.
I did like a big road trip. A couple of mates came out from home, and we got like motorbikes, and we did like a 1 month traveling down where we met Warren. We were reunited with Warren, and then we went to Australia. So we went to Australia for, we lived in Melbourne for a few months.
Working,
and I had so many fucking shitty jobs, man. I did one day as a removals man. Not good. I honestly, it got to like 1 a.m. and we hadn't finished, and the guy was like, okay, so tomorrow same time you at the yard, and I was like, I'm so out of my depth here. I was like, this is not for me, man. I'm so sorry. And then had a few, was like, me and Sim were working on the street doing fundraising and being those annoying people being like, hey, can I speak to you for a minute? Which was just like, it was kind of fun because you're in a different country, but fucking hell, man. It's so brutal when people
give you air no matter what country you're in.
Man, it's a lot, man. Some guy came up to me once and he didn't smile. Like, he was really, really stern looking. And I was like, I don't know why I chanced it. And I was like, hey man, smile, bro. And then he came back to me and he was just like, I'm planning my mother's funeral, you cunt.
Oh my god.
I was like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. But you got to realize that you got to pick and choose who you go and speak to. But anyway, did that for a little bit. Australia is also the place where we met someone, this woman who like worked in marketing. And we were still doing some of the YouTube stuff. We all had a couple of other little random jobs and stuff. But then we met this girl and we were like, do you ever need any videos, anything? And all we had in our portfolio were these like very rough and ready YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, I'm working for this. She worked at an agency, and she was like, one of my clients is this pram company. Do you guys want to do a video for it? And she was like, all right, we've got $2,500 budget. And we were like, what the fuck? We were like, that's mad. Are we going to win this? And we did this video, and it was so shit. They never used it. They never put it out there. It was horrendous. We didn't know what to do. It was so badly put together.
Did they pay you at least?
Yeah, they paid us.
$2,500?
Yeah. And we were like, this is sick, man. We were like, we can make money doing this thing. And so it gave us a little bit of an insight. And so for the rest of our trip, basically, we, from Australia, then we worked at a summer camp in Vietnam. Unreal, amazing. I loved it. It was nothing to do with filming, and it was just like a really, really, really enjoyable experience. And then we moved to Bali. We went to the Philippines, and then we moved to Bali, and we lived in Bali for like 6 months. And we just, hard life, man. But it was good because that's where we the YouTube channel took a little bit of a side step. Like,
did you ever monetize from that or no?
Yeah, a little bit. But like we had one video we went to a mud festival in Nepal, and overnight we had like 2 million views, and we were like, fucking hell, man, we're going to be fucking YouTubers.
Yeah.
And it went to my head, and this is when we were in Australia, and I was walking around town being like, I'm fucking YouTuber, baby. And I was just like, this is mad. I was like, this is going to be my career. And I remember getting an email. We got an email, and it was from this agency or production company in New York, and they were like, we're looking for some presenters for this travel show, this TV travel show. And I was like, oh my God. I remember ringing my mum. I was like, Mum, I finally made it. This is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
And nothing ever came from it. But
That's such a shame.
Yeah. And what's annoying about the YouTube channel, so we stopped doing it a little bit when we were in Bali, and we started focusing on the filmmaking. And so the channel still exists, if you ever want to check it out, Travel Blaggers. And we've still got like a year's worth of footage that we haven't edited. It's just sat in a hard drive under my bed. And I'm just like, at some point I want to do it, and I really want to do it. Not because I want to grow a YouTube channel or anything, because I know those sorts of days are over. But for myself anyway, because it's like, I find it, when I'm hungover, it's like, I have my like, yeah, it's my sort of safe space sometimes. Okay. I'll sit in bed and I'll just watch them. I'll be like, oh, life was fun then. Like, shit, that was so good. And it's nice to have. And hopefully, like, if YouTube continues to exist as a platform for the rest of our lives, then it's something I can show my grandkids.
Okay, so, mate, this is sick. So was the pram job the first real money?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you guys get back after 2.5 years.
Yeah.
What happened?
So one thing to note is that when we were in Bali, we did like every video that we could ever do. So we did like a fucking Grime Daily video for some rapper.
What, in Bali?
In Bali, yeah.
How was he in Bali to do a Grime Daily video?
We just met someone a night out and he was...
What was it called? Monkey's Paradise in Ubud.
Oh, bro, it was so bad. It was just him in this... it was him by himself in this like in this villa and he's like rocking up on the moped and stuff and it's just like... But it's kind of jokes.
And he paid you?
I can't remember. Okay, I would. The safe bet is no. but we lived in this house, the three of us, me, Sim, and Warren. We lived in this house, and we like with this fucking crazy Scottish landlord called Peter, who would knock on our door at like 1 a.m. and just say, "Boys, I need a shit. Let me come in." And we're like, "Fucking hell, we live next door. Crazy, whole other story." But then our rent wasn't super expensive, so we could do like one video a month, and that would like almost just sort of pay the rent and pay for our food. We'd go to all the local markets and eat, all like local food and like all the fruit and veg and stuff, and it was a beautiful, lovely way to exist.
Yeah,
we'd like surf and like, oh god, take me back, man. And but we did every sort of video for every sort of person. We'd sit in cafes and just email like every like cafe, restaurant, nightclub, and we did everything. We did music videos, we did villa videos, we did food videos, we did event videos, like anything and everything. And we had enough of a showreel. And it came up to the 2 year mark that we were away, and the other two boys were like, "Dean, we're pretty ready to go home. Haven't seen our families in 2 years. Yeah, like, let's go home. Let's do this. Let's go back to London. We've got enough of a show. Let's do this properly." Like you reach the ceiling in somewhere like Bali, where like your videos aren't going to get that much better. Like the source material just isn't there, and like you can get in that small amount of time. We started to get a bit of a name for ourselves and stuff, and someone offered us like a long-term contract at this club to do their club videos. I was the one trying to champion that. I was like, "Boys, this is the future of Three Shades," and they were like, "Nah."
Oh wow. They had to put their foot down.
Yeah, and they were like, "We're going back." And I remember at one point I was like, "I'm gonna go back to Vietnam, man. I don't know if I'm gonna come back to London or if that's what I want to do." But the best decision I made, 2018, we all got on a flight back with absolutely no plan, clue, no foot in the door, no contacts in the industry. And we used the YouTube space because we had over 10,000 subscribers.
Did you? Fucking hell, all right.
14,000, baby.
Oh, and, fucking give me the password. let's make it
Vibes. We'll change the name to Vibes and Vibes, man. You can have it. You could use a YouTube space, which we found that today doesn't exist anymore, or not for us anyway.
Yeah.
But that was like a temporary office, and we would go there and it was like free coffees and stuff. It was quite nice. And we basically sat down and we emailed everyone in London, every production company, we had no like real direction. We just were like, we need to speak to people and we need to get on board and stuff. And that first year actually ended up being so fucking crazy, man. Like Adam Knight, who he went to uni with,
messaged
me and was like, "Yo, I want to film this documentary out in Mozambique." And I was like, "Yeah, sick." And he was like, "I'll pay for your flights and stuff." And I was like, "Oh man, I'm fucking there, dude." And so I was there for a couple of weeks filming this documentary, and it was the most incredible experience ever.
Just you?
Just me, yeah. Okay. Which is a tough one with the boys if there's ever something that comes up like that, but it doesn't work like that anymore.
Shout out Adam, he's doing like a charity swimming thing, isn't he?
Yeah,
you're doing a good job, Adam. Hold tight. Anyway, sorry, yeah, carry on. So yeah, you did that.
Yeah, did that. And that whole first year was crazy. Yeah, we were just like, we were more or less just videographers, and we just like, we did everything and like took on any amount of work. Thinking back to it, we were doing some very, very, very low paid work, but you've got to do it because there's a lot, there's like 100 other people with cameras younger than you and willing to do like loads of whatever it's for whatever amount of money.
What was the going rate back then, if you don't mind sharing?
Man. It would be,
and you had to split it three ways.
Yeah, so we said very early on that we're going to put it all into, rather than split each job or anything, we're going to just put it all into a pot and pay ourselves a salary. And luckily, if we didn't, shout out our parents and stuff, because if we weren't living back in Harrow, then we wouldn't have been able to ever like lift
that.
Anything off the ground, because we weren't paying rent or anything and we were surviving off very, very little. We would take on anything. So someone would offer us like £200-300 for all three of us, for like all three of us shooting and then editing like something and photos and like everything, like it's crazy. But you sort of say yes, we didn't know any better really. But that first year was mad, man. We started working with it's so mad how quickly you can like make some connections and stuff. Suddenly Warren's out in New York with Liam Payne and like being his like personal videographer and
like
VMA awards and shit.
Is it
so mad?
Oh mate, sick.
Yeah,
you get a nice chunk for that.
No.
Wow.
Mate,
okay, fair.
Yeah, it's so funny. The ones you think are actually going to be really well paid are actually fucking shit.
Fuck off, getting paid.
Yeah. You're
fucking
a dickhead.
Tight. No, I'm joking. Don't come after me.
Get him on here next week. Give him a bit of work.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just sort of did everything and anything, and like trying to, again, like, it's all about like building a portfolio and doing everything you can do to try and, yeah, like, better. You're like, people say like you're only as good as your last video,
yeah,
or whatever. But we didn't know really what we wanted to do or like a distinct style or anything. And we certainly didn't know about like working a team or anything. We'd take on everything ourselves, which meant like.
Sorry, I'm rambling. No. This has been great, and like, there's been so many key points to take away. So the first one, can I just like talk about a few points? You guys were go-getters, so you're emailing anyone who's anyone. Also, you're humble in that it didn't matter what the price of the job was. Mm-hmm. You know, you lot were living at home. You were making it cost efficient for yourself in order to build out the portfolio, build out the reels. So there's a lot of takeaways. How does Three Shades come about? Because you were the travel bloggers. Obviously, I kind of know, but yeah, where does that come from? And is this a, like a whole new incorporation? Is this like an official business?
So Warren, I can't take credit for it, but I think Warren was the one who came up with the name. When we were in Australia.
Guy.
Yeah, you are, yeah. I'm taking all the credit, but you should be saying. I'm sorry. And we had that name while we were away. So like the show reel that we were working on all the time when we were in Bali, that was under Three Shades. So Travel Blagger sort of took a sort of sidestep, really.
Okay, nice.
And so it was always Three Shades. And now, as it stands, like, so, I mean, I guess we built it as Three Shades. And it, at first, anyway, it was quite confusing to people. They were like, are you three videographers? Is this a production company? Or is it a collective of creatives? And we sort of had to, like, work on that and know and know what to do. And luckily we met a lot of other production companies who maybe were a few years ahead of us, and it's quite a beautiful collaborative community to be involved in, because everyone is really quite supportive of one another. And there's also that element of like healthy competition, like you see other people's work and you're like, shit, that's good.
Yeah, so you said that you had to, you know, work on identifying what you guys were. What are you now?
Well, this is something that I think you still are shipping away at. We've been going for meeting after meetings recently, and like, we need to, like, so basically, at the moment, we run Three Shades Creative has turned into a production company.
Okay,
so over the last, we're coming up to 5 years since we got back in 2018. And
give us some of your top work.
So we've been pushing music videos in the last couple of years, or year especially. And we did. Last January was our biggest like step up, really, because we were doing a lot of music videos for friends or friends of friends on small budgets, but we were still pulling in so many favors, putting in money of our own to make these look good, which is it shouldn't be allowed, but it fucking happens, man. An artist being like, I got £500, man, what can you make for me? And you're like, and if it's like a decent-ish song and you don't have that much else going on, you're like, let's just do it, and
we'll see what happens.
But we put everything into those like smaller budget things. But then everything sort of changed last January. We got an email from someone we knew who worked in the management for Bastille.
Oh god.
But I mean, you know, they might not be at the forefront of like culture at the moment, but like, they're still a big band.
Right. Yeah.
Big Bastille fan, yeah?
Yeah.
But we got a brief for a music video for them, and we did that. That was last January, and it came in December, a few weeks before that, before Christmas. We had a personal, fun, friendship holiday booked to Mexico with one of our other mates for the January, and we had to make a decision because we spoke to the label and they were like, and the management and the band, and they were like, we love the idea, we want to do this music video. At the time, it was the biggest budget music video that we'd worked on. We were like, shit, okay, cool. And they were like, we want to do it in January. And we were like, we're going to Mexico. And they were like, that's going to be an issue. And we were like, fuck. And we weighed up the options and we were like, okay, so this is going to be beneficial for us. So Mexico
could change your lives.
Yeah. And we were like, let's do Mexico next month. And we just waited and we did it in February and we shot the music video. And because we had a big enough budget, it was one of the first, or like early on times in us working, we're now a trio. So this is where it gets a bit confusing. So Three Shades Creative is our production company, and through that we take on like loads of different things. We do like festivals, we do like corporate stuff, we do a lot of music videos.
Can I get a press pass, please? Just a second, bro. Can I present?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro, I know you like being in front of the camera. Or can we do like a double act?
We're gonna have to do a double act.
Sorry, Simon Warren. You look, get behind the camera.
Honestly, it breaks my heart every job that we do. And like, we're filming someone and they're in front of the camera. I'm like, that should be me. And then I'll mess about and then someone will be like, oh, you should be in front of the camera. I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been saying this to myself every morning I've woken up for the last 31 years. But we have Three Shades, our production company. We do a lot of like brand campaigns. We work with M&S quite a lot. We do a lot of their fashion films and like some of their food stuff. That got us through lockdown. We were doing a lot of their food films for their socials. And so we would turn our... living room into this like home studio, and they would send all this food, and we would like get some people like secretly in, and like some DPs and stuff, and like get all like nice lighting, and we'd have food stylists come over and shit.
So you're trying to say you could have made me famous and like put me on TV, but you've just been using professionals.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Cheap.
I bet. No, I'm joking. Listen, we're gonna do that. Yeah, this is gonna be our year. We're gonna be in front of the camera, and this, you know, big things are coming.
There you go.
It says, seal the deal.
Look, there we go.
Delete that.
No. Okay. No, bro. This is sick, man. Yeah. I'm just looking at the time. Look, we're coming to time. So, you're doing music videos. Mm. You're doing M&S. Like, where do you see Three Shades in the next 5 and 10 years? Is it going to be like Hollywood films? Is it going to be TV shows? What do you see for yourself and for the production company?
So, we've been doing music videos for the last like year and a half, and they're good, and you can really like get creative with them. But they are infamously lower budgets than what they used to be in the days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's mad. You can work with a huge artist and it would be like the smallest budget. And they're just so manic. Labels would be like, we need it 2 weeks ago. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then, so music videos are good creatively, but you don't make money off them. And that's just across the board. That doesn't happen for anyone.
Yeah.
But they're a good way to sort of define your style. Mm. Commercials is where the money's at. Like, you've been working on £1 million commercials, and we won't.
He's like, no one followed to his house.
Don't come back. These aren't real. That is sort of where we want to get. That's the next step, basically.
Okay.
So we got signed to a production company called Knucklehead last summer. We're in like a non-exclusive agreement with them, but they're essentially putting us forward for work as directors, and that's really where we want to get to. Like, we run the production company, but us as a trio of directors, which is also not that common, and a lot of people are like, oh, how does that work? We're not all shouting like action at the same time or anything, but it sort of works. But we want to get work as a directors for commercials. Alongside that, would absolutely love to be a proper filmmaker, narrative filmmaker, and like work on short films. I've got all these short films written. I've got a few of them which are so ready to go, but it's just about finding the funding for them, and it's so fucking annoying.
And the right actor.
We'll do a little audition.
Can I just say as well, so where do I see myself? I'm actually going to say this. I see myself as like the next more cultured Louis Theroux. I mean, he's very cultured.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe Knucklehead stroke Three Shades, they're going to be the producers of that, and look, we're going to give them the budget.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not going to forgive you the budget, but whoever funds me being the next,
that's the thing. I think your face will bring in that budget. There's no doubt about it, man.
I fucking love this guy. No, Dean, this has been such a sick conversation. Thank you so much for doing this, man. Just some final thoughts, man, to anybody looking to get into film, into TV, into production, what would your advice be to them?
Save up for a camera and get writing and just start making loads of stuff. And it all goes back to that, like, my regrets at uni for not getting involved in those things. I could have had a bit of a head start, but it's also never too late if you want to. It's just about making stuff, and it's not about having like the budget to, but if you've got those ideas and you think you are a bit of a creative and you've got stories to tell, it's all about like, even if it's not polished, even if it's rough and ready, just go out and make it, and it's like a proof of concept. Mm-hmm. That will then lead on to, people will see that, and if it's a good enough idea, an original enough idea, then people will see that and they'll go, yeah, you've got fucking potential, kid.
Go out
and buy a camera, go do that shit, and YouTube is your biggest ally. Like, go and check out all those tutorials, and it's always changing. The annoying thing is, like, if you wanted to be a cinematic like filmmaker, annoyingly now everyone just wants TikTok stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, if you want to, like, that's the name of the game. Fuck TikTok.
Shit,
baby.
China coming after me. Nah, Dean, this has been sick, man. Guys, if you've made it to the end of the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share the thing, show love. This has been an amazing conversation. I think we definitely need you and the whole team back on. There's so much we haven't said, but you know, my budget is only so small.
Oh God.
I'm getting
kicked
out. I'll
pay for the next half an hour. Let's do it.
No, dude, thank you so much. This has been Vibes and Tribes. Over and out.
Thank you.